I want to start by saying good evening, and if you're visiting with us, we welcome you. We're glad that you're here with us. Obviously, glad to be back with our church family tonight and anyone else that could be here. This is the first time I've had an opportunity since losing my dad to stand before you, and I just want to take a minute to say how much I appreciate and love all of you. My family appreciates all the support that you've given us, all the prayers, and all the kind acts that you did for us, and I can't tell you how much that meant. I love my dad. We had a good relationship. You know, there's only so many good dads in the world, and I was lucky to have one of those. So I wish I had more time with him, but I'm here tonight because I believe I can have more time with him. I've got to see him on the other side. So many of you have lost loved ones as well and feel the same way that I do, that we know we got more time with them, but we've got to finish our race here. It doesn't seem like that long ago that I was standing up here talking about battles that our kids were going to face this year. We looked at elementary school age kids and some of the challenges they were going to face. We talked about junior high kids and some of the challenges they were going to face. We talked about high school kids and some of the challenges they were going to face. And that seems like just maybe last month, and here we are with graduates. And so I thought tonight maybe the thing to do would be talk about what's ahead for our graduates. And I'll begin by saying congratulations, graduates. You got here. Not everybody did. So congratulations. That took a lot of hard work, a lot of studying for tests, a lot of homework that you didn't want to do. You know, I've got one at my house that I hope we can get him to graduation because he sure hates his homework. I understand. I hated it when I was in school too. So congratulations that you got here. And we love you. We love you. Your church family loves you. And we are proud of you. We are proud of everything that you have done. We're so excited to see what you do next. We're going to start this evening in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 9, where Solomon there says, what has been, it is what will be, and what has been done, it is what will be done. So there is nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun, do you believe that? Our graduates, do you believe that? Now, if we're thinking about Solomon at the time that he's writing, honestly, not much had changed since the time of creation. Seriously, they've invented the wheel, they've learned how to work with metal and maybe make a few tools. But if you looked at the world then, even all the way up into, I don't know, the 1700s, early 1800s, the world really just didn't change a lot. And so at the time Solomon is writing this and he said there's nothing new under the sun, in a lot of ways there wasn't. But what about now? What about everything that's happened in the last 200 years. You look at the development and implementation of the engine in industry. You look at the chemical advancements that have been made. We have plastic and all kinds of other materials that they've never had before. And you look at what's happening now in the digital age. For those of you who are graduates, more will change in your lifetime than any generation in human history. For you, that may be really exciting. For someone maybe who's a little bit older in life, that might be kind of scary. And for those of us who are in the middle, we can see pros and cons both ways. I'm a little excited. I'm a little bit fearful of what could be. Especially when you start thinking about artificial intelligence, which seems to be everywhere now. And so what I thought we might do tonight is, I asked an artificial intelligence program, what are the 10 biggest decisions that our graduates will face. And that's going to be our sermon tonight. Now, some of you are probably thinking, can artificial intelligence actually put together a good Bible-based sermon? And some of you are probably thinking, wait a minute, did he just say we're about to have a 10-point sermon? Well, the answer to both is yes, kind of. You know, lots of times we take 3 or 4 points and we kind of dig deep into those and mine those to see what we can get out of it. We're just going to kind of scratch the surface tonight with these because there's enough good content there that that's all we need tonight. And if you want to study deeper on one of these, I would encourage you to do that in your personal time. If you want to study with me deeper on one of these thoughts, come to me and we will do that. The first thing that it said was the decision of what will your legacy be. Now, whether you're a high school senior or a senior in college or a senior citizen, this applies to all of us. This is not just for 12th graders. What will your legacy be? What will be the end of your life, the impact that you had? In 2 Chronicles 21, verse 20, there a man named Jehoram, who was a king, is spoken of. It says Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years. And no one was sorry when he died. No one cared. Some translations say, to no one's regret. No, he meant nothing to no one. No one cared about him. He made no impact. He was a terrible person. Now, probably all of us have been in traffic before when a funeral procession goes by, and occasionally you see one of those, and it's just car after car after car after car, and you might go, who died? It's like 100 cars in this procession. Who was that? Must have been somebody important. That's what we think. No, it was somebody impactful. That's who it was. It was somebody who was impactful. Or perhaps you have a situation like this where no one shows up at the grave because no one cared, because he made no difference in anyone's life. I would encourage you, live every day with the end in mind. When we're thinking about eternity, thinking about our eternity, trying to make an impact on other people and on their eternity. The next thing, number 9, how will you use your time and talents? Which is to say, how will you invest yourself? Ephesians 5 and verse 15, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity. Every opportunity. And about that, I would say this. Your life is a non-renewable resource. Olivia studied about non-renewable resources this year in fifth grade. You can't get it back. And so what I'm saying is maybe you waste your money, but you have a job and you make more money. But if you waste your time, you can't renew that. You don't get that back. Be very careful what you invest your time in and make sure there's value there that you're going to get that back. Number 8, how you handle trials. Now, it's interesting. James starts the letter to the Jews there like this. Greetings. Might think he would have more to say. Greetings, dear brothers and sisters. When troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. That is a weird way to start a letter to somebody. Be happy when bad things happen. Now, if you're a high school senior graduating, then you understand that you had to go through some trials. You had to go through some adversity. You had to go through some challenges. Some things were difficult. Maybe it was high school English. I remember after my senior year thinking, I'll never pass high school English. Thankfully, my second senior year, I did. Some of you are thinking, wait, is that right? That is right. You had to go through some challenges to get here. But I want you to know that life is full of challenges and life is full of adversity, and you will have to be able to overcome that. And the measure of your life will be how you dealt with those things that were difficult. People who are married for 50 years, you could say they found their soulmate. I would tell you they learned how to work together through adversity. Because it's challenging to spend that much time with somebody. If you want anything of any meaning, any value in life, you will have to learn how to overcome adversity to have that. Will you have a family? Now, Daniel said this morning to the kids he didn't even want to talk about engagement, and tonight I'm talking about having more kids. But I want to take a different spin on this. Everybody knows that the Apostle Paul wasn't married, right? In fact, Paul even said, you know, in some circumstances, I wish that you could remain like me and be unmarried. And yet, when he starts his letter to Timothy, he says, 1 Timothy 1 and verse 2, I am writing to Timothy, my true son in the faith. My son in the faith. You know, whether you have kids of your own or not, biological kids, children that you adopt, that you bring into your home to love and raise, whether you ever have that or not, whether you want that or not, I want you to have children in this sense. Spiritual children, people who look up to you because of the way that you've lived, that you can mentor, that you can impact, that you can make a positive impression on their life. I want that for you. I want you to have kids in that sense. I hope that by our godly influence, your life will be full of spiritual children. Who will you surround yourself with? This is something, if you show up in our high school class here, you get talked to about a lot. Who are your friends? Who are your mentors? Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20 says, walk with the wise and become wise, associate with fools, and get in trouble. Who you spend time with matters. Now, as you're graduating from high school, your peer group is going to change. It's not sitting with the same three people at lunch every day. They're going to go their own way in all likelihood and start pursuing other avenues of life. And you're going to take different paths, and you're going to take different steps. And really, you get to start all over and define yourself again. I want to encourage you to find a spiritual mentor. You know, whatever it is that you're wanting to do in life, you want to be a doctor, a nurse, a teacher, an engineer, you want to join the military, whatever that is, I would encourage you, when you're thinking about this may be what I want to do with my life, find another Christian who does that exact thing and talk to them. Ask them about it. How has doing this affected your life for the better? How has it affected you as a Christian? What obstacles, what challenges, what can I expect? How have things changed? Understand that if you take one step down a path, you may continue that journey. Okay, when I got out of high school, I went to work with a brick mason, Buzz's dad, and I just thought, I'll do this until I find something else to do. 30 years later, that's what I still do. I still work on homes. I had no idea that this was the path I was going to take. None at all. But once I took that first step and then another, you start down a path. If you're graduating high school, you're thinking about, what am I going to do? Talk to somebody else, someone you trust, who does that, and find out, is this really right for you? I want you to go to college. I'm sure your parents want you to go to college, so I'm not going to say don't go to college. I don't want you to waste 4 years in college on something that you hate 2 years into it. Talk to somebody. Consider what you might want to do. How will you handle money? Which is to say stewardship. And we've just recently been talking about this in the high school classes. We've been talking about gambling and thinking about that. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7 says that God loves a cheerful giver. We all know that verse. The next verse says this, verse 8, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Plenty left over to share with others. How important is it to God what we do with what we have? Is that important to Him? If I asked you if, I don't know, say baptism was important, you would say absolutely. Baptism is essential to salvation. There's probably 20 different cases in the New Testament where baptism is discussed. It's very important. There are over 2,300 instances in the Bible where verses talk about people and their possessions and their money and their wealth and what's done with that. There's a lot of examples. This pleased God. That did not. It is important. What you do with what God has blessed you with, we need to consider that. How will we handle our money? Where will you live? Where will you live? A lot of you will get a chance maybe to go off to college. Some of you may stay here for a few more years and do school locally and then consider moving out of mom or dad's house. I say that, I realize there's a trend in our society right now for like 40-year-olds to be living in their parents' basement. So some of you may never go anywhere. But some of you will consider leaving home. And not just leaving home to move across town from West Limestone to East Limestone, but really moving off. Maybe to another county, maybe to another state, maybe to another country. You know, in Acts chapter 1, we're introduced to a couple, Aquila and Priscilla. And it says that they left Rome because Claudius the Caesar deported all the Jews from Rome. And in leaving Rome, they meet the Apostle Paul. Sometimes where you end up in the world will have a significant impact on your spirituality. You know, I had looked at this several years ago, so I'm maybe a little off on the numbers. But there are more churches in Limestone County than there are in some states. And I say some states, I mean it was like half the states in this country. So if you've grown up here and you think, I'll just move somewhere and there'll be 20 churches to choose from like there is here, it may not be that way. The closest church may be hours away. I hope you will consider that when you think about where am I going to live, because that choice is going to positively or negatively affect you in life. What will you do with your life was number three on the list. That is to say, what is your career? What is your calling? Colossians 3 verse 23 says, work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. You know, one of the things about my job is I feel like I'm working only for people sometimes. You know, working for myself, I have to answer calls and someone has a complaint about this, someone needs that fixed. Whatever you decide you want to go do in life, find something that you love and consider it working for the Lord. Do something meaningful. You know, as I talk to people about their jobs and I meet all kinds of different people, the ones who seem to be the happiest are the ones who are in a job that they love. Like if you're going to spend 40 hours a week doing something, make sure you love that thing. Make sure you enjoy doing that so that you don't burn out in year one. Do something meaningful. Number two on the list, you knew this one was on there somewhere. Who will you marry or will you marry? Now, one thing I came across as I was researching this is that the average age that people get married now in our country has risen all the way to, for females, 28 years old before they are typically getting married on average now, 30 years old for men. Now, that's a lot higher than it was even just a few years ago. People are waiting longer to get married. And can I tell you something? I think that's a good thing. We're a little more mature. We've got a little more life experience. You know, I remember used to, especially like when I graduated, which has been a long time ago now, somebody graduated and they would go off to Florida College to get their MRS degree. Talk about a young lady going to Florida College. She's going to get her MRS degree. She's going to go down there and find her a husband, 19, 20 years old. I want you to marry if you want that in life. I want that for you. Don't feel like you have to marry the first person. Take your time. This is a lifetime commitment. No other decision is going to impact you more this side of eternity than that. Be very selective about who you marry. Because marrying the wrong person, it would be better if you had stayed single. Think about that. Lots of times you hear of a young couple that's dating, they break up, and the young lady says, he didn't love me, he only loved himself. Or, she didn't love me, she only cared about herself. I want to tell you something, young men. I hope you marry someone who is truly in love with herself. Because if she cares about herself, she cares about her soul. And she will care about yours. Young ladies, I hope he's in love with himself. Because if he doesn't care about his soul, he's not going to care about yours. And he's not going to help you get to heaven. I want you to get married. Marry someone who truly does love themselves and knows and understands what that means. So the number one thing on our list was, what will you believe? The most important decision, according to artificial intelligence, is what will you believe? What is your worldview of things, and what is your spiritual view of things, your faith? John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Do you believe that? So many in this world do not. If you believe that Jesus is the only path to eternal life, then that belief will influence every other decision that you make in life. You know, when I went through school, computers were really just starting to come onto the scene. In fact, even in high school, we had programming. And it was learning how to write computer code to get the computer to do what you wanted it to do. And one of the things was called an if-then statement. So as you're programming the computer and the user's using it, the computer asks a question, and you had to write in the code, if they respond yes, then do this. If they respond no, then do that. So the computer would understand what the next step was. It was an if-then statement. This is an if-then statement. If you believe that Jesus is the only path to eternal life, then you will obey him. It's an absolute. If this is true, then you do that. And if you don't do that, then you didn't believe it was true. As we conclude tonight, I think the world will change. I think you're going to see a lot of new and exciting and interesting things. The world will change, and we are excited to see how you change it, how you change the world, what impression you make on the world. Is there nothing new under the sun? I would say there's a lot of new things under the sun now. A lot of wonderful things to experience, to have. But let me tell you one thing that is unchanging. Jesus Christ is unchanging. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8 said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. No matter where you go in life, no matter how things change, no matter how your life changes. If your life is good, that's wonderful. Jesus Christ is there. If your life is falling apart in ruins, I hope you will remember, Jesus Christ is unchanging. And that is something that you can anchor your life to. I appreciate your attention this evening. We're going to stand in just a moment to sing a song of encouragement. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, why not tonight become one? If you are a Christian and perhaps your life isn't what it needs to be, why not do something about that tonight? If we can help you in any way, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.